You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hola, amigos. It is another day and plenty to get into. Shockingly, more Jordan versus LeBron talk. Okay, he actually passed Jordan something, all-time scoring list. So we'll discuss that in hour number two. Coming up in hour number one, well, huge win for the LSU Tigers over in Florida. We'll speak with the voice of the Tigers, Mr. Chris Blair, at the bottom of the hour. We'll chat with him as to the game that took place last night in overtime. 79-78, Tigers with the win. They're now 25-5, 15-2 in SEC play. They're done with the road schedule in the SEC, 9-0 in SEC play. We'll wrap things up on Saturday against Vanderbilt. A win there, and they get a share the regular season conference title. So we'll talk to him about that game and really this season, what it's been like for them here as well. Plus, coming up later this hour as well at 12:45, we'll check in over in Lake Charles with Casey Gisclair. Marsh Madness, Joey. Not to be confused with March Madness.
Yes.
Don't confuse the two. It's Marsh Madness over there in Lake Charles, the All-State Sugar Bowl Marsh Madness, the Class 5A semifinal game between Thibodeau and Bonneville in men's hoops. We're going to have that coming up at 3 o'clock. So we'll get out of here around 2:45. Casey Gisclair, Brian Calais, they're going to have the call for you. So if you know anybody that went to Bonneville wants to listen to the game, or anybody that goes to Thibodeau wants to listen to the game, right here on ESPN New Orleans, the semifinal game, the Class 5A semifinal game in Lake Charles, Marsh Madness. We'll have that coming up at 3 o'clock from the Burton Coliseum in Lake Charles.
I missed you for 2 days, bro. So I got to play something for you.
Okay, what's that?
Here we go.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Tell you what, I kind of did my own show in my head on Monday and on Tuesday. It was incredible. I had so much to get into, obviously, with Mardi Gras going on. And, you know, we weren't on Monday and Tuesday. And then yesterday, traveling up here to Uncaseville, Connecticut, Joey, down the street, I'd say down the street, be a few minutes drive from where you went to college over at UConn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cold, 10 degrees is what it was like when we landed in Hartford or Windsor Locks.
Our summer's July, that's it.
Yeah, it was a little chilly, to say the least. It's up, it's warmed up, though. The warm front is here. It's 14. So that's ooh, where we are right now. It's 14. The good thing about it is I get to stay indoors. So there's plenty of snow on the ground and everything. It warms up to the 40. So apparently this is the remnants in the end of that massive cold front that we felt on Monday and Tuesday. Because Sunday took the little guy to Toth, Joey, and it was 72 degrees, T-shirts. I was in shorts. And then later by that evening, the front came in. And then Monday and Tuesday, obviously, was the cooler weather. So it's fun to be back, obviously, and get into it. Our thanks to Brian and Jay yesterday, who apparently had a little too much fun. Too much fun. But no, I mean, there's so much to get into. And again, so much happened over the weekend. The Pels 3-1 road trip. I know the guys really touched on that yesterday. College baseball last night, as we now transition to the weekend games in college baseball. LSU 9-2 over Holy Cross. They improved to 9-3 overall. Daniel Cabrera, Antoine Duplessis, and Brock Mathis all had solar homers. In the game. They're going to face Cal over the weekend. Tulane's now 10-3 after they beat Texas Southern 13-1, scored 5 of the 9 innings in the game, 13 hits, 8 different players got a hit. Sal Gazzo, Jonathan Artigues, and Logan Stevens all had triples in the game. How about UNO, Joey? We've spoken with Blake Dean twice. Obviously, we speak to all the coaches the Thursday before the regular season starts. And then we checked in with him after a nice win over my ranked Golden Eagles at the time. But, you know, look, I checked in with them and, you know, wanted to see how that team was sort of going. And they won again yesterday, beating Jackson State 21-2, Joey. They didn't need all nine innings. They called it after seven innings, 21-2 because of the 10-run rule. Took a two out of three over the weekend against Yale. Gage Howard, 3-6, triple, 5 RBIs. Antonio Gauthier Jr., 4 RBIs for them. They face Nichols, Joey, over the weekend in the conference opener for the Colonels, as the Colonels fell to South Alabama on the road 6-3. And I've lost 4 straight. I'm not saying it was my curse when we talked to Coach a couple weeks ago. But
no such thing.
Okay, there we go. It was 3-3, and then it was 3 unanswered by South Alabama to win that game. So that's your quick look over on the diamond in college baseball that took place yesterday. But we'll talk about that LSU-Florida win for sure. Pels took on the Jazz last night. 30-37 now as they lose 114-104. Utah gets that revenge from the game over the weekend in which the Pels won. And it also does snap the Pels' 3-game winning streak. Remember, they're supposed to be tanking, right? According to Michael Wilbon and everyone else, the Pels are a disgrace. They're trying to purposely lose and all of that, even though they have a 3-game win streak up until last night. AD played 21 minutes, 16 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. So he put in his time. He did do pretty good. Head coach Alvin Gentry on the loss.
Yeah, I thought we turned the ball over too much, you know. And when we finished the game with less than 20 assists, then we hadn't had very good ball movement. You know, we ended up with 17 assists on 41 baskets. So that's telling me that there's not very much ball movement. And anytime we do that, I think we get ourselves in trouble. You know, but the turnovers is the one that helped us. If you give up almost 30 points in a game off your turnovers, then that changes everything. That changes points in the paint, fast break points. It changes all of those things. And when you look at those kind of stats and you can see where they dominated in those areas right there, that was our biggest problem tonight.
Yeah. Poor, of course, Pelicans. Not good enough. Even though by the quarters in the breakdown, Utah 25-23 in the first frame. The 33-24 second quarter was really the difference. Pels won the third 29-27 and were a point shy in the fourth 29-28. Again, 114-104 was the final there. As far as other guys that stood out yesterday in the game for the Pels, nice game by Julius Randle. 23 points in his effort in 35 minutes, 3 assists, 6 boards to go there. Drew Holiday had 16 points and 3 rebounds. Kendrick Williams, 12 points in his 35 minutes. And off the bench, Frank Jackson was the leading scorer off the bench with 13. Etuan Moore had 6. Darius Miller, 8. Jahlil Okafor, only 3 in 5 minutes of action in that one. So, look, we'll talk a little bit on this with the Pelicans here. David Grubb, 105. I'm going to chat with him not only about, obviously, the Pels the last couple of games and moving forward, as they will host the Raptors tomorrow and then be at Atlanta on Sunday. Next week, it's the Bucks, Portland, Phoenix, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. All of those games are at home, so they're going to be home for a little bit over the next couple of games here. But I also want to talk to David Grubb. I don't know if you got a chance to read it. And again, it's Mardi Gras weekend. But 5 days ago, he put out a piece on Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Chris Jackson, from back in the day when he was at LSU. A couple of things stood out on there. And I know Jacques Doucet tweeted this last week as well, in which he caught up with LSU's Abdul-Rauf. And he asked him about his number being retired. Might have been the same event that David Grubb caught up with him, too. But about getting his number retired. And he said, hey, look, if it happens, great. If not, you know, no big deal. But, yeah, it'd be a great honor for that to happen. I'm not going to say you forget, but time has sort of passed. First off, Joey, can you believe Abdul-Rauf is turning 50 in the next couple of weeks? 50.
At my age, yeah, I can believe it.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I clearly remember, you've heard me say this before when we've talked about basketball in this state and how I remember, you know, the Def Dome. I remember how big LSU basketball was, obviously, when you had – even before Chris Jackson and Shaq, but, you know, again, I remember going to games in the Dome against Georgetown, against North Carolina, and, you know, big games in the Dome. you know, to just to watch LSU play a regular season game. It wasn't like a conference tournament or anything of that. It was just regular game and being in the Superdome and watching it. Dude, he was good. I mean, he was really, really good. And I mean, when you think of the numbers that he put in, again, we'll talk about David's stats, or not stats, but story with Abdul Rauf, and really talking about how good he was, man. You know, those first that first year at LSU as a freshman, and just what he did and how good he was. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of catch up on again, because probably over the weekend, a lot of you folks probably were doing things out and about and didn't get a chance to read it. So why not touch on it here in a little bit? So that's kind of what's lined up guest-wise, just to kind of get into and chit-chat. There's a lot of other different topics here as well. One quick bit of Saints news that took place. Daniel Lasco, the running back, has been waived by the team as well. Next week, next Wednesday, so we're now 6 days away from the start of free agency. That's when you can call, you can start offering, you know, packages, deals, players, what have you, trying to get free agents one way, shape, or form. So you're going to start seeing a bit of business being done by a lot of different teams, waiving, releasing players, clearing up some room, things of that nature. Obviously, this week, I'm sure the guys touched on it yesterday, the Antonio Brown story is getting more and more interesting. The Steelers have let pretty much everyone know and leaked it and had those NFL people go out and about and say they want a deal by Friday. They want this to happen quickly. They want to know what's going on so they know how to approach free agency here as well next week. Reached out to Larry Holder of The Athletic. He will join us either Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday as we do a free agency special, really. We'll take calls. Who do you think we should go after? Not just the Saints, but just really the rest of the division and how it impacts here as well. Because as I mentioned, when you take a look at the NFL draft, which again is right around the corner, it's next month, and free agents that can go to teams in this division in the NFC South. Look, I'm with a ton of y'all out there that feel the Saints are absolutely a playoff caliber team. That's what I keep saying. I don't want to say championship. I don't want to say Super Bowl and all that, just because I think it's difficult to get there. You had a lot of things go your way last year. It was all set up for you. It was set up for you to go through your home and everything, and you didn't get there. You can call the, you know, you can blame the call. You can do, I get it. Saints, as I told you, to me, need to bring back what worked in 2009. Finish strong. 2.0. Add the shirt. Add it to the shirt. I mean, just 2.0, right? The slow start in Minnesota, unable to finish that comeback against the Vikings 2 years ago. This past year, again, you had the Rams at the very beginning, given an opportunity to probably put a good bit of distance between you and them and try to finish that game in your place. Couldn't get it done. Yes, you can keep telling me about the call you want. I'm not discounting it. The Saints didn't do enough in that game to win that game. They didn't stop the offense of the Rams when they needed to and hold them to field goals instead of touchdowns. And they didn't punch it in the end zone and settle for three on a couple of instances. So that's why I'm going with finish strong 2.0. Finish it. Just finish plays, finish games, finish the series, finish the downs, finish all of that. But you take a look at the rest of the division, all the other teams, obviously you don't have a first round pick, so they are going to pick in front of you, but they're picking pretty decent, pretty high. And like I said, the last thing I want is Devin White to be linebacking with any of those teams that the Saints have to face as well, because I didn't get a chance to really talk about this because it happened over the combine. He had a ridiculous 40, right? Ridiculous workout. Incredible performance by he, Greedy Williams as well. But Devin White, just, I mean, the consensus by everybody that was watching that weekend of him run the 40, he broke down into tears when he saw his 40. It's there. Everyone that I've either read or saw, you know, during the combine, is he's absolutely now a top 10 pick. So congrats to him. But again, you definitely don't want him. Tampa is kind of where I would look at. What do the Bucks need, right? I mean, what do they try for Le'Veon Bell? So we're going to get into all of that next week when free agency comes with Larry. We'll do a free agency special because it's hard to believe. But, yes, NFL free agency is next weekend. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you're injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. That's the number to call. Go online at kinginjuryfirm.com. You will see bios. You will see videos. You will see the About Us tab. Click it, and you will see all about the attorneys. You'll get to know who they are, what they do. As a former LSU football player, part of the staff there as well, one of the partners. Just go ahead, check it out, and you'll see in the blog and videos instances in which they've done representation work, and maybe it's what you can use. So it's not just car accidents. It's a bunch of other different things as well. Go online at your leisure. Check it out. But either way, shape, or form, if you think you need some representation, ring the King. 504-909-KING. I touched on the combine there. We come back. It's kind of a big story nationally for sure. Been seeing a lot of it this morning on all of the shows on ESPN, obviously reading up on it. I want your thoughts, 800-998-1003, on Charlie Casserly's comments of Kyler Murray. Out of bounds, inbounds, is it fair, is it racial? That's a huge topic that is happening right now today about this. So any and all of those comments will welcome you. Phone lines are open next segment if you want to chime in on any of the topics that we touched on. Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, at 12:30. Then we'll check in Lake Charles with Tasty Just Glare. Don't forget Thibodeau, Bonneville, the boys 5A class 5A semifinals, Marsh Madness. It's coming up at 3 o'clock. Thibodeau and Bonneville right here on ESPN New Orleans. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Golftech's March Major Sale is now in full swing. If you're a golfer looking for major improvements with your swing or clubs, get to Golftech and save up to 20% in March. Get started with a swing evaluation or tech fit club fitting for only $100. Your local Golftech is in Metairie on 17th Street behind Lakeside Mall. Visit golftec.com.
Swing better, play better, Golftech.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Have you been suffering with neck or low back pain? Disc of Louisiana offers the most precise techniques and least invasive surgical procedures to give you your life back. Wake up with only a Band-Aid after surgery. Disc of Louisiana, now accepting appointments in Houma, Metairie, and around the North Shore. Visit GoSpine.com. That's GeauxSpine.com to make an appointment today.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, 800-998-1003. Love to get your opinions and takes. So the Charlie Casserly thing, right? He comes out, NFL analyst, combine analyst, scout, however you want to call him. I've been doing it for a while. Goes on NFL Network and basically says he's talked to a few folks And those few folks say that Kyler Murray's interviews have been absolutely terrible. So that's been absolutely terrible. And he has no leadership. He's terrible at the whiteboard, the works. There's been a ton of brushback. And I mean, from Dan Lebatard this morning saying, here we go again. Another black quarterback is getting, tarnished, to people saying, well, who are the ones that are doing it? His head coach, Lincoln Riley, over in Oklahoma, has come out in his support and had this to say.
The frustrating part of it is you've got guys on TV talking about that have never been in a meeting with this guy, that have never been in a practice with him, that have never talked to him, his coaches, or his teammates. But then we want to be, you know, we want to be going on TV. So that's the frustrating part, is they have absolutely no idea about the kid.
So he also had this to say about his leadership skills.
I think, if I've got my math right, I think the kid has started 58 games in his career, and he's won 56 of them. So it's a pretty good start. And, yeah, I've been around the kid. I've seen the impact that he had on our team, both when he was playing and even before he was playing. You see the character this kid has, the competitive fire. I mean, the kid is more all in with football than probably anybody, considering what he turned down to play the game. And so, I kind of laugh at it. I mean, it's uneducated. It's based on, you know, no direct knowledge of it. And, you know, the kid's a heck of a kid. He's a great leader, certainly was for us, and he's going to be for an NFL team here shortly.
So Cashley went on the Michael Kay show up in New York and kind of stood by his comments as to what he said. This is today.
Let's put it in context here. Talked to three people, more than three people. Okay, three people. Let's leave it at that. I trust their A1 sources. You would understand what that means, because right. you do the same thing. And they gave me information, which I'm not going to share specifics. That's wrong to do that. But overall, questions on leadership, questions on – this is coming from a 15-minute interview now, okay, three separate ones. Questions on how he handled the questions on the board, which is football, leadership, study habits, okay, based on answers he gave. So he didn't have a good interview, period. From those three teams.
All three different teams.
No. Hmm. Right, exactly.
So to go on a little further, Cassidy says that he stands behind the sources and that they're reputable.
You think there was any gamesmanship in them telling you that?
First of all, the answer is zero.
Okay.
Because I know these people. And,
okay.
And right, just like what you guys do, you got to evaluate the evaluators.
Okay.
You know who you're talking to. So sometimes you have to sift it through. Sometimes you can take it word for word. These are A pluses, I'm telling you right now. Okay, so there's none of that there. Now, I hate to say this too, but remember, I'm in your profession now. Nobody's going to listen to us, okay, and make a decision, okay? What they might say is, hey, wait a minute now. We better go back and interview that guy, you know, or you know what? Maybe there's some things that we didn't get into. That's what they might do, but they're going to make their own decision.
And finally, Charlie Cassidy on how Kyler Murray, according to, again, him and his sources, could be so bad at either the whiteboard, the interview process, what have you.
Well, first of all, we're talking about a 15-minute interview.
Right.
Clearly, this guy was not trained for the interview. Just listening to it. I train players. I train over 100 players every year for combine interviews. This guy wasn't trained.
It's like somebody taking an SAT course before taking the test.
The training isn't that hard, okay?
Okay.
We don't have 200-page books to train them in. So that's part of it. And I think this guy plays on reaction when he's on the field. And that's okay in college. Now he's going to have to graduate some in the NFL.
So, again, those are some of the comments that he's getting at here. I guess what I want to hear from you guys, again, 800-998-1003, is here we go again, right? I mean, it's the funny season. I call it that because I laugh sometimes in a almost like you got to be kidding sort of way, right? I mean, last year we heard from a lot of different people talk about when it came to Baker Mayfield, right? He had leadership skills or issues, and, you know, he doesn't know he's a bad teammate. And stuff. And I mean, based on what? Because you saw him get excited on the sideline. You saw him plant the flag at Ohio State when they beat him. That makes him a bad person. That makes him somebody that you can't have. And I'm like, you're reading it completely wrong. So I don't know. It's just interesting. I guess one of the things that I wanted to touch on today is when you hear this, because a lot of the arguments that are going against Charlie Casserly specifically are when you have somebody like him go on the NFL Network and say that, how it could cost players money. It could cost him his standing. It could cost him his ranking. By all accounts, it's the Cardinals right now that essentially they're going to take him and like him, yes or no. But can comments like that affect your draft status? Can it affect how people, you know, view you and perceive you in that way? We've had, obviously, discussions in the past about players with the Wonderlic test. We've had discussions with players in the past with Darius Geis, right? Should some questions be off the wall? Are they trying to trick you up? Are they trying to trip you up, rather? Or are they trying to see how you handle uncomfortable situations, right? This is what we heard last year when people were saying, well, this is why questions were said about Darius or things of that nature. And you and I probably listened and watched last year and were like, I don't understand all this. All of a sudden, Darius Geis has a character issue, an attitude issue. I'm like, every time you always see him, he's always smiling. Seems pretty happy. I mean, they're worried that he's on a four-wheeler having fun, probably. You know, I mean, but that made him bad. I was baffled last year by a lot of that. And you wonder if a lot of that is teams themselves or agents of other players that want their players to go above them, putting out misinformation, disinformation, and things of that nature, right? Because remember, this is a draft, and you want certain players, hopefully, to be there when you draft, right? Agents, their sole job is to get their players as high in the draft as possible. If not, try to find the right fit. So there, I think, is absolutely poisoning of players' tape, workouts, or what quote-unquote sources say and things of that nature that take place all the time. I absolutely think that happens. And I think this could be, obviously, one of those situations. And then again, there was an interview that apparently Dan Patrick tried to have him on. And again, judging by others' comments, he bombed it. Like, he was incapable of having a conversation. He kept plugging sponsors, and it was very uncomfortable. And look, again, I say this, it's almost like, Joey, you know, you do a show that's based on politics. It's very easy, and, you know, even my roommate here knows, too. Senator Kattengill, President Kattengill, I'd love to run. I have great ideas. Do I want to put myself in a position to handle the criticism, the comments, the things that will happen in my family? You know, I mean, it's all the other stuff that goes into it, and it's uncomfortable. It's not a normal setting like you see the last couple of weeks, right? New Democratic contestants for president. What does CNN do? Back-to-back days, they all have town hall meetings, right? So you have to go answer questions and somehow promise and I think almost lie to people how you're going to help them personally, despite it. Everything has to get passed and everything. No, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Sure you can. It, you know, we've had the same problems for 50 years and nothing's ever been fixed, but they're telling you they can do it.
I lied before, but I'm telling the truth now.
Exactly right. My point is it's uncomfortable, right? It's uncomfortable. And it's one of the things that we're going to try to get Darius Geis on in the coming days to try to kind of talk to us about that. Like, what is it like to sit in a room and have teams cycle in by 15 minutes or you're going into different rooms and sitting down and getting interviewed? I mean, there's some people I know that are uncomfortable giving speeches. There's some people I know that are uncomfortable doing interviews and things of that nature. And just like when we have Marlon on, talk about the combine and training for the combine specifically, right? To look good in those shorts, as Marlon always says. So you trained specifically over the last couple of weeks to bench, to run a 40, to do vertical. You're not training football-wise. You're training to do combine drills is what you're doing. Well, as Charlie Casserly is sort of saying, you also train these players for those interviews. What to say, what not to say, and how to handle this. And man, I get uncomfortable thinking about maybe, you know, just imagine walking into a room or setting where people are trying to see how you react if this makes you angry. I'm going to call you this on purpose to see if you can handle yourself. It's football. it's football. Like, some of the questions they're asking, you've seen asked in the past, to try to see how you react and to try to see if you can do it right or not. It's, I don't know, it's weird. So I'd love to get your takes on it here as well, because this happens every year. There's always a player of high profile or not that either gets asked a certain question or all of a sudden they're a bad apple, bad seed, bad people. And, you know, there seems to be one here with Kyler Murray. So we'll talk a little bit more about that over the next couple of hours here as well. You got us all the way to 3 o'clock. It's the Sports Hangover, where hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. The voice of the LSU Tigers is next. Mr. Chris Blair will talk about the overtime win last night in Gainesville, 79-78. We come back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Home and Credit can help with those unexpected needs for cash when you least expect it, or for home improvements or anything else you need. They have loans $300 and up. They offer fast, friendly service and payments to fit your budget. Plus, they even accept phone applications. The folks at Home and Credit have up to 30 years experience, and they're locally owned and operated. Call 223-1085 or look them up on Facebook.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then.
It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Uber has been doing a ton of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits, like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
Over 10,000 people went to mycomputercareer.edu and took the free career evaluation last month. They started the year hating their job or income and did something about it. At My Computer Career, they can start their new life as an IT pro in months, not years. Even with zero IT experience, it's not too late. You can join them. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Classes meet on campus or live online just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Inbounds, it comes to Mays. Now to Waters. 4 seconds. Waters driving down the lane, goes up and under. Layup good! With 0.5 seconds, we're tied 72-72. Inbounds to Johnson, and for the second time this year, as the horn sounds, free basketball here in Gainesville.
Overtime again for the LSU Tigers. Kind of a comfortable place, apparently. They improved to 5-1 in extra time as they defeat Florida 79-78. Chris Blair, the man that called the action last night, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network, of course, at LSU Tigers Voice, the way to follow over on Twitter. Chris, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Gus. You're exactly right. It seems like LSU this season kind of thrives in those late game and even overtime situations. 5-2 overtime wins, 4-0 on the road against SEC competition in overtime. It's the most overtime wins in Division I basketball right now. And, you know, the Tigers, you know, I think the difference is the conditioning. They look as fresh late in the game as they do to start a game, even with just an 8-man rotation. But, wow, they got it done again.
You know, when you take a look at that game, so much really stood out in just going back and forth, really. Look, Florida, now I told you this a couple weeks back when you were on our show on a Thursday, and I said, hey, look, coming up, you have some some games where obviously some opponents are ranked, and there's Florida. And Florida's still going to be that Florida game, and they wound up winning in Baton Rouge after we had that conversation. And you kind of expected this was going to be the same thing here as well. I mean, it's right there. You can see the end of the road that share the SEC title, and here are the Gators. It's always a tough place to play in Gainesville, and that's what I saw last night in that game, just a battle between two teams.
No doubt about it. I mean, Florida, again, you know, much like in the first meeting 2 weeks ago, I mean, they're trying to pad their resume, trying to get an opportunity for postseason, and they were in a five-way tie for that coveted fourth spot in the SEC tournament, which, again, can go a long way to help a team like Florida that, you know, possibly is on the bubble for the NCAA tournament. So there was motivation for both teams, and as you said, it's always tough to play inside the exact Tech Arena. Everybody knows it as the O-Dome. But, you know, LSU, again, they just don't fret. They seem to thrive in those type situations. Didn't back down, had to scratch and claw, but that's kind of been the MO of this team all year.
You know, it's interesting because you look at that first meeting and the physicality inside was really an area that I think hurt LSU. And you saw last night, 44-26 points in the paint, Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be that way, especially in that matchup. It's something Coach Will Wade talked about, you know, leading up to that game and certainly before they went out on the floor. This was a team and a matchup in which, you know, they do have more size, you know, just overall bigger on the front line against the Florida Gators. So, you know, they eventually able to get ahead in the rebounding battle, something they did not do in the first meeting against the Gators. But they won by double digits, 10 rebounds overall, and they got 20 offensive rebounds, not to mention all those points in the paint. So kudos to the Tigers. Go out and execute. They wanted to get points in and around the rim, and they were able to do so because they had a dominant matchup against the Gators.
Yeah, I want to say it's almost like that Tennessee game in overtime yesterday where, look, there's some time on the clock and no foul to defend without fouling, and Florida didn't even get a shot off. But it's not the first time just in the last couple of weeks we've seen LSU with the clock ticking down, the ability to defend, not foul, and get out of there with the victory. That's not easy to do, especially, you know, the whistles, man. We've seen LSU win the game because of the whistle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of kind of memory, muscle memory when it comes to being able to play defense in that type of situation. But it is something that LSU works on constantly in those six-minute games that Coach Will Wade talks about. It's not just offense. It's on defense. And, you know, on the other side of that, you get the argument all the time, late in games, should you call a timeout to settle your team and get the shot you want, or should you drive it? LSU and Will Wade, I think he's proven this year, he's more apt to let his guys go and play. I mean, after the big three, the tough shot that Hudson hit, falling away in the left corner at the end of regulation to give Florida that two-point lead, I mean, there was no doubt about it. They were going to inbound the ball. They were going to get it to their man, Tremont. And, you know, he just drives down the court in about 5 seconds. And because Florida was retreating, a couple of them had their back to Waters coming up the floor, he had the wherewithal and the mindset to just drive it to the rim, possibly get fouled, but, hey, maybe you get the bucket. He's able to get it to overtime. So, you know, in that overtime section, almost another opportunity for Florida. Again, they call a timeout, same thing they did at the end of regulation. And LSU, again, goes to the 1-3-1. And basically said, you're going to have to beat us with a jump shot. They were able to get one at the end of the second half, but as you said, didn't even get a shot up as the buzzer sounded and the Tigers won 79-78.
Speaking with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. You can always follow him on Twitter at LSU Tigers Voice. Chris, I'm trying to put into words, actually, winning on the road last year in the SEC, it just didn't happen. And to be 9-0 in this one, it's that's a remarkable turnaround. Obviously, this is a team that's going to go into the tournament, get a high seed. Yes, that's a turnaround in and of itself. But to do that, I think that's probably one of the most impressive things this season when you look back at it.
I mean, it's been amazing with Coach Will Wade. I mean, 2 years ago nearly when he was hired, he said he was coming to Baton Rouge. He was bringing his staff and was going to build a team that would play for titles. Here we are, you know, two seasons into the Will Wade era, and you're playing for an SEC title, and as you said, they've already locked up, you know, an NCAA berth, and right now maybe playing for a possible number one seed. Certainly would love to get a number two seed. But, you know, again, at the end of last year, Coach Will Wade said you cannot be a championship-caliber program and struggle this much on the road. So don't think for 1 minute they haven't worked extremely hard mentally and physically to be able to do something that no team at LSU has ever done. I mean, the last time you know, was 1980-81. That great team went 8-0 on the road in the SEC, but no team. And you think about the players, the coaches, and teams that have been on the floor for the Tigers over these many decades, and this one this year is able to go 9-0 for the first time in school history.
Yeah, and not to forget the Alabama win, 74-69, another tough one up there as well. So, yeah, back-to-back road games to get to earn that mark.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, what's impressive. And I think I'll add to that a little bit, emotional senior day and senior nights for those home teams, Alabama and Florida. And let's hand it to those teams. I mean, those seniors for both the Crimson Tide and the Gators. I mean, you look at Hudson last night, goes for 33 points. He's averaging 8. So he came to play on senior night, and somehow LSU's still able to get 2 victories.
That's incredible. So what's left is Vanderbilt. What can you tell us about the Commodores? They're not exactly having the best of seasons. So is that the challenge for Coach Will Wade? I know you always like to talk about his coaching moments, because that seems like most of your post-game interview with him is him telling you the coaching moments. But I guess that's it, right? Because everyone's expecting a win here 7:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he's already working on it. They were already working on it, breaking down film, you know, on the flight back from Gainesville last night. So you don't think for one moment that, you know, this team is celebrating anything as of yet. They know the work is not done. The mission has not been fully accomplished. And they'll be ready to go Saturday. I mean, it's a sellout at the Maravich Center, which is great because these guys certainly deserve that type of crowd to finish out the regular season. So I think it's going to be interesting because Vanderbilt, again, a struggling season. Got demolished last night against Arkansas. You know, how much fight do they have coming into this final game? But, again, LSU is not going to take that for granted. They're going to have to come out, play well, play great in front of the home crowd, and, you know, hopefully control at least a share of the SEC title, and we'll get the number one seed because they have the tiebreaker over Tennessee and obviously Kentucky.
Yeah, no doubt. And, obviously, when you take a look at it, and, you know, they're 0-17 in conference. That's why I say, I mean, like, you don't want to overlook it, but you get out there, I guess you get a good early start and get the crowd going into it, and you get that share of the title, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think, and I've said to you many times this season, that this coaching staff's great about compartmentalizing wins and losses, and they put it behind them either way very quickly and get back to the process that Coach Will Wade talks about. And that process, as I mentioned, started on the way back, coaching staff breaking down film, looking at what the Tigers did well last night, as well as some things they've got to improve on. And they'll be hard at work today getting ready for Vanderbilt on Saturday night.
Chris, wrap up with on the diamond, the Tigers get a win last night. Just your thoughts, obviously, the weekend series, right? Disappointing weekend series at Texas. What did you get out of that, and what did Paul Maneri get out of that and take away from the loss of this of the series against Texas?
Well, I know they were happy to get the win last night, a pretty dominant fashion over Holy Cross. But I think, you know, coming off the weekend and even, you know, over the last couple of games, not just the series at Texas, you know, I think Coach Paul Maneri's been very clear that he's a little concerned about his inability from his starters, his middle relievers and closers to go in and throw strikes. You know, he builds his team based on pitching and defense. And, you know, he feels like the defense is pretty good behind these pitchers, but you can't, you know, record an out in the field. There's nothing you can do in the field when you're giving free passes. And that was really the story of what happened in Austin over the weekend. And, you know, last night, a couple of guys came in. Coach Maneri said, hey, if you walk batters, you're not going to be on the mound. And that's exactly what happened. They got pulled off the mound. And I think that's a legitimate concern. And, you know, this weekend against a pretty good Cal baseball team coming into the box, it's going to be imperative that the pitchers throw strikes. Let your defense back you up. It's almost as if they're trying to avoid hitters, and in doing so, they're giving up walks at a very high rate, very uncharacteristic for a Tiger pitching staff. Still think they've got quality arms. They've got quality guys from top to bottom. They're just going to have to go in and throw strikes. So that's what I'm looking for moving forward, especially before you get into SEC play, because the last thing you can do in conference is give free passes and, you know, put two men on with one out in an inning.
Yeah.
You know, there's too many great hitters in the SEC to have a formula for success there.
Yeah, no doubt. Chris got a chance to see just Ole Miss here down the street when Graf was calling that game against Tulane, and they got just home run hitters left and right up and down that lineup. So that's what's coming in SEC play. But obviously you're well aware how strong the SEC is going to be.
No doubt. I mean, just look at the top 25 in any poll in baseball, and you're going to see it filled with SEC teams. And, you know, it'll come up very quickly for LSU. I mean, they're going to take on a very good Kentucky team here at the box early on in conference play. And from that point on, it doesn't get easier. And that's kind of what Coach Maneri was telling his team after that tough trip to Austin. Guys, this is very early on. Texas is a very good team. But get ready. There's going to be more of this down the line.
No, tell you what, it's March 7th, but LSU basketball right now taking center stage, Chris, because Saturday they can win a share of the regular season SEC title. And as you said, they got plenty to play for come tournament time. Can they sneak into a top four, maybe even a possible number one overall seed? It's incredible when you think about it from that perspective. So, Chris, I know you love your baseball, but hoops right now, man. It's taking center stage. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, man. It's been a great ride. Want to keep it going. Go Tigers.
For sure. Yep, at LSU Tigers Voice, the way to follow him on Twitter. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Quick break. When we come back, we'll go out to Lake Charles and visit with Casey Gisclair. He and Brian Calais going to have the call tonight for you. Thibodeau and Bonneville, the Class 5A semifinals, and the All-State Sugar Bowl Marsh Madness. That's right. Get it? Marsh. The Marsh is a little, you know what I'm talking. It's Marsh Madness. And it's at 3 p.m. Thibodeau and Bonneville. The winner, by the way, will play Walker or Ouachita Parish. And they used to be, they were the champs last year. So the defending champs, one game away from being able to play to win back-to-back championships. Anyway, Thibodeau and Bonneville coming up at 3 p.m. Quick break. We'll check in with Casey, see what's going on over there as you're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
We're back. The Mary Bird Perkins TGMC Golf Classic is returning to the Bayou region April 8th through the 13th at Ellendale Country Club in Houma. This signature event features the area's only professional golf tournament and much-anticipated Pro-Am Day. Come enjoy good sportsmanship, good food, and fun, all for a great cause. For more information, go to marybird.org/TGMC/golf.
I didn't want to talk. She just sat with me. That was all I really needed.
We got back, and of course we went to different cities. One day he called me out of the blue, and it's comforting to know that I always can count on him to have my back.
We hadn't talked for a while, and then she texted me, and we went for a walk.
She called me from time to time. I really didn't think I needed any help.
I was away from my family during the holidays, and a friend invited me to their house for dinner. It really meant a lot.
He knew I was having a rough week. So he asked me to go fishing with him.
My friend knew that I didn't want to go out, so she brought me dinner instead.
It took me from being really depressed to feeling like somebody cared. It gave me some hope. Just that one text.
Be there. Your call. Your presence. Your words. Your support. Be there and help save a life. Learn more about preventing suicide at veteranscrisisline.net.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet, the back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
At Casey_Gisclair is the way to follow him over on Twitter. He and Brian Kelly can have the call for you coming up at 3 o'clock. Thibodeau and Bonneville in the Class 5A semifinals over in Lake Charles. Marsh Madness. I love the name. Casey, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Not much, man. I'm actually just outside of the Burton Coliseum as inside the building right now. St. Augustine and Brother Martin are playing a Division I semifinal. St. Augustine beat Brother Martin three times in the regular season, all pretty easily, but right now they're struggling. It's late in the fourth quarter and it's still a two-possession game. So
exciting times here at Lake Charles, and today we've got the 5A semifinals. And oh, can't stress enough how talented these four teams are, and how these can be two really, really good basketball games.
Nice. I like to hear that. Obviously, I'm a Brother Martin grad, so feel free. Let me know if my Crusaders pull that off against St. Aug, man. Look, you know, it's one of the things that I wouldn't say it's under talked about, perhaps, and I get it. It's because what it was Lafayette four time right now. It's in Lake Charles, but the basketball, college, high school basketball in the state. You know, look, I get the coverage for high school football is big, but high school basketball is pretty good in the state too, as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh my goodness, man, Gus, we've come to the top 28 in Lake Charles now for the last 4 or 5 years in a row, mm-hmm. and we were actually talking about this in the hotel room last night. Is the number of college coaches that we've seen who were at this event. I mean, every year, you know, Will Wade dropping by and paying a visit. We've seen Mike Dunleavy last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a little nudge on the shoulder. My coworker saying, you know, hey man, turn around. I turn around, see Patrick Ewing is there because he was recruiting for Georgetown. So I mean, schools all across the country are scouting some of these young men, and we're going to see some of them today in the semifinal that we're going to be calling. Thibodeau's got a young man by the name of Marvin Robertson. He's a senior. He averages 16 mm-hmm. points a game. He's a terrific player at the college level. He's going to be sort of that combo guard, 6'1", 6'2", could play, you know, either the one or the two. Bonneville's going to be featuring a young man by the name of Rodney Munson. I was asking some of their coaching staff to describe Rodney Munson. They said, man, look, he's just a scorer. He's one of those guys that it's going to feel like he only has 15 to 18 points, but you're going to look down at the stat sheet, he's got 30 to 35 points. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys, he fills it up in all ways possible. And Thibodeau's going to have to do an excellent job tonight of keeping him off the free throw line, because if he, you know, if you let him penetrate and create things, he's liable to shoot 15, 20 free throws. Thibodeau's got to keep him off the line today.
So you kind of just started going in that direction there. How this run here by Thibodeau has been pretty remarkable. They've played some pretty good teams to get to this point.
Yeah, they have, man. Look, they've been challenged. They were down 9 points late in the fourth quarter against Hanville, came back. And they play Natchitoches Central, the team that is always here at Lake Charles, beat them on their home floor. And, you know, the thing about Thibodeau, Gus, is people ask me all the time, you know, what makes these guys so good? And, or you know, the other question I get all the time is, you know, who's their standout? Who's their best player? And the answer to that is, you know, really, they don't necessarily have a best player. I mean, their starters, all five of their starters average double figures. No one averages more than 15. No one averages less than 11. So everyone's averaging in that 11 to 15 point range in their starting five. And as you're scheming to try to take this, you know, some of their strengths away, you know, they like to penetrate and kick. Well, if they penetrate, you can't really help off of anybody because everyone can make the three ball. So you just got to kind of hope that they're not making shots. And one interesting key to tonight's game, Gus, and this is going to be something Thibodeau is going to have to deal with. This has been something that everyone that we've seen for the last 2 days has had to deal with. High school gyms, you're playing, there's the basket, then there's like a wall right behind the basket, right where the cheerleaders are stationed. Here, it's an arena. So there's seats, you know, 15, 20 rows of seats behind. Three-point shooting has been miserable in the 2 days that we've been watching here. That hurts Thibodeau. They've got to adjust to that right away here, and they've been practicing at Nicholls State University to try to adjust to that. They're going to have to figure that out quick in this game against Bonneville.
Yeah, that is true. That backdrop, as you're referring to, it's not easy as, you know, it does. It's a little different shooting background when you're trying to get that, I guess, comfortableness in there. What can you tell us a little bit about Bonneville?
They have size, man. In addition to Rodney Munson, they have a post player about 6'6", 6'7". He could play. He could block shots. He could protect the paint. And for Bonneville, man, it's just one of those situations where they're trying to just kind of get over the hump. They made it to the state championship game 3-4 years ago, lost. Made it to the top 28 1 or 2 years ago and lost in the semis. This is a group that, you know, this core group has been together now. This coaching staff, their head coach has been at Bonneville for 41 years, has not won the state championship, has been close so many times. And he's been on record saying, look, looking at our roster, looking at what we have, we think this is our best shot. They're going to be playing with a lot of pride and a lot of effort trying to unseat the number one seed and finally, you know, win that 5A state championship that has eluded them for so many years.
No doubt. So, I mean, you gave us a little bit of the keys in terms of the three-point shooting. Bonneville's got some size. How key do you think it'll be just for, either team to get off to that early start and get some success? Or both teams have shown the ability, as you touched on with Thibodeau, to be able to fight back if you don't get that early success?
Well, you know, it's going to be a 3 o'clock start, Gus. So, you know, we're not expecting a ton of people here in the gym. So I think one of the big keys is going to be who's going, and my partner, Coach Brian Colley, always says this, which team is going to make their own noise? So So which team is going to, on the bench, be generating some of that noise and that energy that you usually get at a 7 o'clock tip? Look, we're expecting Thibodeau to bring some fans. We're expecting Bonneville to bring some fans. But this is going to be, you know, a half-full arena. So which team's going to provide that energy early? I think that's going to be one of the keys, is who wins that first 4 to 6 minutes and which team is, you know, maybe a little bit nervous in those 4 to 6 minutes. Whoever gets off to that strong start, maybe the team that moves on to the final.
All right, Casey Gisclair is going to have that call along with Coach Brian Kelly, as you just said, and get back in there. I need to find out if Brother Martin held off St. Aug. I need to know. Now you got me curious. I'm looking on Twitter as I speak. I'm trying to find. I need some updates. Thank you, Casey. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, man. Y'all have a great day.
Yep, for sure. 3 p.m. that tip, Thibodeau and Bonneville coming up right here on ESPN New Orleans. Coming up next hour, we're going to chat with David Grubb. Right off the top of the hour, he had a really interesting piece on Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf. If you remember him, Chris Jackson, that's how he went by at LSU. And there's been a lot of talk about should they retire his number. There's been a lot of talk about, obviously, if he should, as he's trying to do a lot more with LSU here as well. I just blew my mind that he was 50. But Joey's like, I sit there and I remember, I'm like, I am going – Well, I am not going. Sorry, I am. I just turned 43. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I get it. I guess so. But I just remember I still remember clear as day watching Chris Jackson play, man. I just remember it clear as day. And, wow, 50 years old. So, yeah, be interesting. But anyway, we're going to talk with David Grubb a little about that. And the Pels, they lost last night to the Jazz. It snapped the 3-game winning streak, though. And after that, we're going to have a little fun in the next hour and kind of get into, look, last night LeBron James passed Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list, what it meant for him, what everyone is talking about now. Just another day, right, to go back and forth. Who's better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? What he had to say about, you know, surpassing him was pretty cool as well. And then, of course, you can't have a LeBron James moment without, obviously, this. He did get another record. He did pass it. Joey, they lost. I mean, they lost. So it was another loss to the Denver Nuggets. It was a pretty ugly loss. And apparently there were a lot of boo birds going on at Staples. Ramona Shelbourne, ESPN.
You know, it felt polite. It felt like, you know, everybody stood up. He gave him a standing ovation. It was nice. I didn't think it was raucous, right? It wasn't like everybody was losing their minds or anything like that. But you know, I think that's sort of reflective of where LeBron and the Lakers feel about everything right now, right? I mean, it's kind of a lost season at this point. And while it's an incredible career accomplishment, like, he just kind of got here. So the fans appreciate the sense of history. But, you know, I was there, Freddie, when Kobe Bryant passed Jordan a couple of years ago, and we were in Minnesota, and I honestly think that was a bigger reaction than you saw here tonight.
Joey. Mamba still living alive and well in the hearts of Laker Nation and fans. Yeah, let me tell you something. It's been almost a fun thing to do on Twitter. I just, when they play and they lose, I mean, wow. It gets a lot of social media response. That is for sure. Hour one has been brought to you by The King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring The King, 504-909-KING. And go check them out at kinginjuryfirm.com. You'll see, obviously, a bunch of different instances on their blogs and videos and the About Us tab. Click it. You can actually see who you'll be chatting with. And it's a free consultation call, so you can go check out and see what all the different things they do. Coming up, Hour 2, The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.